came back, I want to say last, maybe 2 weeks ago, and it was still in the freezer.
Well, that's good. Oh, no one stole it.
Yeah. I was
probably
so
had
happy
so many ice crystals, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was, I just threw it away.
What do you call that? It's a frostbitten? No, that's not it.
Yeah. Yeah. Freezer burn.
Freezer burn.
There you go.
Yeah.
Destroyer of ice cream.
Oh, it is. It's the worst. It gets all chewy. Disgusting.
It's like, for me, I equate it to like your child dying. Like it's just, you see ice cream with freezer burn and you're like, it's like Sophie's Choice. You're like, I can't let you go. It's ice cream. Like, I have to eat you. But
I have to watch that movie. I've never seen it.
Neither have I, but I've often used the
premise.
Use it as an example. Yeah. And I don't even know what the premise is, to be quite honest with you. I've just
something about her kids, right? Her kids go missing. Is there an island involved?
No. I watched it so long ago, I can't really remember, but I think she's just living. Oh, I'm going to murder this. Somebody's going to be like, that is not the plot of Sophie's Choice. She's like living her life, but then you do flashbacks. And so she's living her life and she's trying to like figure herself out. But then you find out that she was in a concentration camp, and the Nazis forced her to pick one of her kids to kill. So that's the Sophie's Choice, is that she had to pick one of her children that the Nazis would kill.
Who plays Sophie?
What's her face? Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I had it all wrong.
Yeah, I was way off too.
I was way off. I can't think of the name of the lady who I thought it was, but she's a brunette with normally has a bob. And she was in like a lot of like 80s and 90s movies. That's who I thought Sophie
Sally
was.
Sally
Field.
You thought it was wow.
How did you also think it was Sally Field?
No, I knew it was Meryl Streep, but I thought it was like a way different story. I thought it had to do like with like kid, like custody of kids because she was like a dancer or something like that.
It might be. I don't remember a lot of it. That's also Kramer versus Kramer.
There you go.
What's his face? Having a custody battle.
Also Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
I might have been thinking of Striptease this whole time.
Oh, Striptease is good. Yeah. That's also that. She has a kid, right?
I think so.
Yeah, she has a kid, and because she is a stripper, or not even because she's a stripper, just because she's a working mom, they don't want her to have her kid. So
the strip club?
Custody. Yep.
Yeah.
Or just in general.
Or just like as custody. And then
just
somehow
Burt
Reynolds is the senator and he gets involved somehow.
He gets involved and he gets lubed up in the Vaseline from head to toe.
He covers himself in Vaseline.
Yeah.
Which just seems so like impossible to clean off.
Oh God! Can you imagine? Those boots must be so gross because he does that in the boots all the time. Delicious. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to Bloody Podcast.
Vaseline boots.
Yes. I am your host, Maria Felix, along with my co-host Lori Roggenkamp, and our guest, Mike Rose. Hey,
hello.
Guys. How's
Thanks
it going?
Back again.
We're doing part three of Amy Fisher. I didn't think it would last this long.
Neither did they.
Neither did they. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, we're just ruffling feathers up again about it. when we last left off, it was like what was it? Where did I specifically leave off?
We left off where she was in the hospital, and he tries to like finger Amy as the person who possibly might be the one who, did the shooting.
Yeah, I even wrote here, we last left off with Joey ratting out Amy, and I'm still asking.
And he's basically incriminated himself.
Yes.
Without trying.
He totally has.
He showed him a picture on his phone. He goes, I just have this random photo because she's really sweet on another guy that works at the garage.
No, a picture on the phone wouldn't do. First of all, because it's 92.
Oh, that's true.
And second of all, because Joey goes above and beyond for his customers. And he got them the picture. He got them the picture from the body shop of Amy Fisher.
That's right.
That's right. Okay.
All
right.
So
she was sweet on one of the guys there. I told her she's too young. Leave her alone.
He didn't listen. So we put her picture up.
As a reminder.
Don't do this.
So Joey did all that. And then they brought the picture to Mary Jo. And Mary Jo confirmed, yeah, that's her. So now they've got a witness, the victim, who identified her, Amy, by, like, you know, by sight. Meanwhile, Amy tried to play it cool with her friends and her family. And she went to, like, all the seniors were going to go register for community college classes.
So I think it's hilarious when you mentioned that she's still in high school.
She's still in high school. So she has to play it cool. She's got to go to class and stuff. So she goes with the, like, she shows up at the community college with, you know, all the day that all the seniors are there signing up for stuff. And she signs up for a full, like, list of classes. She does, like, a business marketing major, I think. And then...
She's good at business.
She has a mind for advertising, I would say, a little bit. You know? and then she goes and she hangs out with Jane at the Quintessential Look Salon. And she's like, she keeps freaking out with Jane in the back about it. And she's like, I shot somebody. And, you know, Jane's like, oh, you really did it. And then she tells her to be quiet about it. But then Jane and her, like, she's there all day. Like, Amy's just hanging out at the salon all day. And then, like, at some point during the day, Jane and her, and then Jane's friend, whose mom works at the medical center where Mary Jo's at, go for a walk. And then they tell the friend about it. They must have. They must have told her some degree about it, because they have the friend check in with her mom about Mary Jo's status, because right now no one but the police and Joey know that she's awake. They just keep saying she's in critical condition.
Oh. You mean someone blabbed her high school senior friend was not the most reliable person to be quiet? I'm going to tell you this in confidence.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Jane was, I don't know. I mean, I don't really get why they did that, but I feel like part of Amy couldn't help but be excited to talk about it in some way, or at least to get it off her chest.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was a high school girl. I mean, she, you know, she had to share it. She was like, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
But I shot somebody. Don't tell anybody.
I totally killed somebody.
I totally killed somebody. Don't tell anybody. But I did it. Also, I got a mind for business.
Yeah.
Sign up for some classes.
What's your safety school? right over the killing and then into college. Got a plan for the future, you know?
Totally, yeah.
She's going to take away my future, so I took away hers.
So, meanwhile, Detective Alger, now with her picture in hand, sets up surveillance outside of Amy's house at her parents' shop, outside of the parents' shop, and entails the parents' cars. But they can't find Amy's car, and they haven't seen Amy. And I really don't think that much time passed. Like, honestly, it was like maybe like a day of surveying before he gets frustrated.
How hard could it be to find Amy's car? Isn't it like the most banged up car in town?
Yeah, it's like the
scratching it every other day.
Yeah, exactly. The LeBaron is in the garage, but the garage windows are blacked out. Like, this is top level detective work. The garage windows are blacked out, so they're like, we can't see in the garage. We don't know if the car is there. And then Amy, the next day, calls in sick to school because she's like, I'm too sick to, like, she just feels sick to her stomach all the time because of what she did. So she calls in sick from school. So she's just in the house. And she doesn't leave the house. She doesn't feel like leaving the house. So Amy's just inside the house. And Alger's like, I don't know where she is. She could have taken off. She could be in Europe by now. It's been like a day, and maybe resources are low. I don't know, because then after that,
she's in Mexico right now.
Yeah, she got away with it. She's a dangerous woman.
She's like Carmen Sandiego, but smarter.
Yeah, smarter and hotter. And they're like, no, she's not, dude. What's wrong with you? He's like, nothing. That's not what I mean. Nothing, nothing.
Shut up.
And she, so she's in there. He gets frustrated and then goes to Joey and is like, hey, I want you to call Amy. And he says it's because he got frustrated and desperate because he couldn't find her. And that it was a spur of the moment ask, and that's why it wasn't recorded. Mm. The writer of the book that helped Amy write it, also puts forth the theory that maybe it wasn't recorded because it would have implicated Joey in the crime too. And that was not part of the deal.
I would say that probably would make the most sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'll do it, but you can't record me. I'm not going to say why. I just feel like that might not be good on my end.
So Joey paged Amy, who called him back immediately.
He said 911.
He said he said his normal tag for her, which was 007.
Oh, okay. That's
so
right.
Close. So she said she was at home and she was about to head out to Jane's salon again, that she had an appointment, which really just means she's going to go hang out and like waste time at Jane's salon again, which I would be super annoyed if I had a business and I had that friend that like just hung out the whole day.
Yeah. And just showed up.
Yeah. And didn't help
themselves to like things out of the fridge.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Sit around and take up like waiting space and then be like give people advice on what they should do with their hair. Be like, no, get out of here.
Yeah. And they're always like, I'm the number one customer. And it's like, you haven't paid in like 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. The only reason she gets haircuts from her is because she stays late enough where Jane's just like, come fine. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to go home. Joey tells her that he wants to see her. And they agree to meet that night at 8 p.m. In the detective's account of the conversation, he says that Joey repeatedly referred to Amy as babe. Yeah. Did you hear what happened, babe? I want to see you, babe. Yeah, I'm taking care of her. Like he was really casual, but he kept saying babe. And then in Amy's version, she feels that, first of all, she felt at the time that Joey was trying to protect her and them by keeping the conversation kind of casual. And then that he said, I love you at the end of it. So that's just like a notable difference between what the two are saying happened, even between the detective and Amy on the phone call. Either way, he like, if you're calling somebody babe.
Yeah, it's not casual. Even if you say, I love you.
Yeah.
It's not usually how I would interact with someone that I barely know and have just been working on their car.
Yeah, exactly. It's like at that point, the detective knows that Joey had an affair with Amy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I agree with you guys. I think that, like, it is weird. But I also feel like an argument can be made that, like, he probably says that to every woman. Like, he probably calls every woman babe or sweetie.
He's probably a big sweetie or hun person. And he did give her the VIP t-shirt. So maybe that comes with the VIP treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's clear that like, regardless of that, that he for sure is having an affair with her. Like, I think the police officer knew almost immediately.
Yeah.
Hey, babe, all right. I love you. That doesn't mean nothing. That's just a casual love. Like the one you have for a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
A friend's daughter. You know,
a friend's teenage daughter.
Yeah, Alger understands. He gets it. He's a cop. No. There was a bunch of conversations that they had had. Like, there's no way to know basically how many combos the detective and Joey had, you know, that they just didn't talk about, that they just grazed over, that where Joey could have probably told them, like, yeah, I'm having an affair with her, or I had an affair with her, but she went nuts, you know, or I didn't know anything about that. But they're just totally disregarding the fact that Joey had an affair with her.
Seems like a total move where they would just be like, well, his wife was shut, and they're, you know, they're looking out for him.
Yeah.
But really, they're just ignoring things that would make their job harder.
Exactly.
Somehow, you know, reflect poorly on Joey for some reason.
Yeah. So Joey finishes the call, and then he just so happened to be home when Alger came over to ask him about it. Mm-hmm. So he finishes the call, takes a shower, and goes back to the hospital to be with Mary Jo. Meanwhile, the officers arrested Amy as soon as she walked out of the salon. At the police station, Amy said she knew that this was about how she was, quote, fucking Joey Buttafuoco. Hmm. She claimed she was at the gym when she heard about the shooting. And then she went over her actions over the last couple of days, which was like, I was homesick from school because I had the cramps. And before that, I went to go register for community college classes. I'm going to be a business marketing major. she tries to play it cool. Finally, at the end of the account, which according to the police, she voluntarily gave after being read her Miranda rights twice, Alger told her that she had been identified by the woman she shot. He showed her the picture that Joey had given him from the shop, and Amy knew immediately that Joey had given her up.
Oof, ratted her out. Her goose was cooked.
Yes.
it's almost as if you couldn't trust that Joey Buttafuoco.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy how, like, trusting she is of basically all the guys in her life.
All the biggest assholes that there are.
Yeah, it's super sad.
It really is.
But up until this point, she's like, I can't believe that he would do this. Like, she's probably still in her head trying to convince herself that it's somehow to protect her.
Yeah. Protect, I named her and her alone.
Yeah.
In the crime. To protect her. To protect her from lying is a bad thing, and she should learn a lesson. In the long run.
So then she made up a story where she said that that a few months ago, Joey had given her what she called a lady's gun. So one of those little pistols, a 25. And then recently had arranged for her to meet up with some guy named Anthony from Brooklyn. She described Anthony, who in hindsight looks just like PDG. Who also had a brother named Anthony.
Okay. All right.
So she went, all right, she just went to B. She really just, she didn't go from A to C. She just went from A to B and was like, this will throw them off.
Oh, she's a business major, you know?
Yeah. She's got a mind for business.
And then she says that this guy drove her over there, and that she makes up the thing about hitting Mary Jo with the gun, and that then she hit her a second time, and then the gun went off. So this is all before she gets a lawyer in there.
Lawyered up yet?
Yeah.
She just should have lawyered up the second they brought her in there.
The second they brought her.
She was so good at business, she'd have known that.
So then Alger brings in another guy. He brings in another guy named Gary Abbondandello to be like the good cop, mm-hmm. because Alger has been butting heads with Amy. And all in all, Amy talks to the cops for 15 hours before calling her parents, who then call a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So oh my God.
It's already well into the next day. And
Can
then
you imagine?
The parents still like were not concerned about where she was.
Really, honestly, yeah.
Have you seen Amy around here? She's been gone for 15 hours.
I gotta be honest, they probably were like, "You're not up in your room."
I thought I heard crashing around in there.
Could you imagine just getting a call? Your daughter's been gone for 15 hours, and you get a call, and you're like, yeah, I've been talking to the police about this murder that I definitely didn't do, or about this crime I definitely didn't commit.
Yeah.
For 15 hours. What more do they need at this point?
Well,
you probably confessed to, like, the Lindbergh cat kidnapping. And
honestly, yeah. If they wanted to, they could have had her confess to, like, 7 murders in the area. To be fair, I did forget to mention that when, like, a year earlier, Amy had, like, run away from home because she was mad at her parents, whatever. and like they filed a runaway report, they filed like a report with the police. So I think they're used to her taking off. Obviously, okay. They're fucking used to it because she's also out with Joey like every night,
all the time.
Yeah. So I'm
never concerned.
In the police report, the dad calls her totally uncontrollable. Or, I'm sorry, completely uncontrollable, which comes up later in her trial. So, anyway, they call the lawyer, and they call their civil lawyer because they already have a civil lawyer employed because of a fight Amy got into at school with some other girl.
Okay. Did you win?
I don't know. It doesn't
Amy
say.
Seems like she could fight.
Like she could scrap. She's like,
I feel like she would have like a decent right hook.
She is her generation's Cash Me Outside girl.
There you go.
You know, so
that's a great way.
I feel like she fights like every like girl, which is just go for the hair. You know, she probably just like grabs and like yanks the hair really fast.
That's the fastest
punching.
Yeah, maybe that's like the fastest way to get her though, because she has super long hair.
Mm.
So who knows? We'll have to ask her.
Well, this is Long Island in the early 90s. Everyone had big, long hair.
That's true. That's true. So that civil lawyer contacts a criminal lawyer named Eric Nayberg. And so Nayberg is her new representation. Amy was finally arrested and held without bail at Nassau County Jail. While the media ate up the story, Mary Jo even made it on the cover of Newsday, which was... Long Island specific
Newsday. Yes, Newsday is long. It's a New York paper, but it's Long Island based and covers mostly Long Island news.
Yeah,
although you can get it in the city, and you can get city papers on Long Island, but that's not really interesting. But yes, it's the Long Island newspaper.
That's pretty cool that they have their own newspaper about it. Because when I first was reading it, I had to go back and because I thought it was Newsweek, and I was like, "Should be on the cover of Newsweek?"
At some point, probably. Yeah, no, this is Newsday, and they had nice big full color covers. I'm sure we kept some of these, and they're probably in a box somewhere.
You probably have it.
They're probably somewhere.
So, yeah. So, she was on Newsday, and she was on the, Mary Jo being in critical condition and who shot her was already becoming, like, big tabloid news. They started talking about it on Inside Edition, the show called A Current Affair, which I have no recollection of.
A Current Affair hosted by Maury Povich originally.
Oh.
And I think later on, it might have been Bill O'Reilly who hosted, or someone else. It moved on, but it was originally hosted by Maury Povich.
Crazy.
And they had that big like, dun. It was like one of the first like things like that.
Yeah.
And that's where Maury got his start. And that's where I believe he met Connie Chung nearly shortly thereafter.
No, really? Oh, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Laurie, cute.
Weren't you telling me that Hard Copy is coming back? That's the other show that
That was the one Bill O'Reilly did.
Oh, okay.
Hard Copy.
Oh.
Yeah. Someone.
I had read somewhere where I did it as a joke, but then I had read somewhere that they are trying to bring it back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
You pitched Whoopi Goldberg as the host.
That would be great.
And I think that would be
great.
Perfect.
I would watch that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think she would be a great. I think she should take over Dateline.
Ah.
I think she'd be great.
So all these shows are picking it up, and then they're all like desperate to find a new angle on the story.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately, one dude, Peter DeRosa, who was once a John of Amy's, but not one of her regular clients, had secretly videotaped their last encounter before Amy was arrested. So he sold the tape to A Current Affair for $8,000. On the tape, it's basically them eventually having sex. And then he also keeps like trying to convince her to have a group sex in an S&M scenario with him and his friends. And she's like, no, I don't want to.
Everyone's always trying to sell her on the group thing. She's not into it.
So weird. So weird. Like, I don't know. She found like every guy in Long Island who was into the group sex.
Every single one.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
It's not her thing. Not her thing, guys.
I don't get that. I never once, like, the only thing I can equate it to, because, you know, this is my life, is, like, I've never once been eating my favorite meal, which is chicken fettuccine, and been like, you know what would be really great? Is if me and my friends all ate this one meal.
I watched them all eat it.
Yeah, and I watched them all eat it.
Yeah, and they get super messy and all over their faces. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it takes all kinds. Some people are into it. I hope all these fellas.
Consenting adults. That was. Yeah, consenting adults. Sure. But yeah, he keeps egging her on to do this. And she's like, no, I'm not into it. But one of the first things she says at the top of the video, which is like the one like soundbite that all the stories picked up on, is that she says something along the lines of, she's like, I don't care. I'm wild. And I love sex, you know? And so that was the thing. That was the big thing that everybody like just kept quoting her as saying.
That's such a teenager response to stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's such a throwaway, like, it's, to me, it kind of makes me feel sad for her, because it's very much like a defense mechanism. Like, I don't care, whatever. I don't care. Fine. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I'm good at sex. I like sex. And it's like, oh, you are such a young girl. You are not emotionally mature to be in this situation.
Yeah,
it's to be disgusting. A sex worker or murder someone or try to murder someone or have an affair with an older man.
Yeah, that is an adult woman's job.
Yeah, yeah. This episode of A Current Affair airs the day before her arraignment. And it's super fucked up because, I mean, what she did was fucked up, don't get me wrong, but the media really, this is a pattern they really established, where they really keep fucking her over at crucial times of her trial. They know, like, because they can find, you know, it's easy to find out when is her arraignment date, when is the trial set for, and then, like, premiere stuff in anticipation of that. But it really, I think it really fucked her up.
Well, she was a cash cow to all these people at this point.
Absolutely.
People were like tuning in and they were getting huge ratings.
Absolutely.
The more you can keep Amy Fisher in the news, the more eyeballs you had. And it was Amy that was the draw to the whole thing, because Joey was, throughout this whole thing, just getting, if anything, slaps on the wrist.
If anything.
Yeah.
I also think it's funny that, like, I just imagine Joey being like, what about Buttafuoco? he wants to be involved.
The assistant district attorney assigned to the case, Fred Klein, charged her with attempted murder in the second degree, criminal use of a firearm, armed felony, two counts of assault on the first degree, and three more weapons felonies. So that's like nine counts.
It's a lot of crimes.
Yes. Amy pled not guilty.
I mean, yeah, obviously, but it just sounds funny.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
Not guilty, Your Honor. In the argument of how much her bail should be set at, the ADA cited her prostitution and said she was a manipulative and vengeful and dangerous woman. He also brought up the police report that her dad had filed a year earlier about her being totally uncontrollable. He requested that bail be set at $2 million. That was higher than any killer, serial or not, in New York's history.
Jesus. Also, she's a woman now, in the wording, if you notice. Now she's a woman.
Now she's a woman. Yeah. 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 He also played both sides of that, which the author does a good job of pointing out that, you know, first she's like, she's a sex crazed woman, but on the flip side of that, her father says she's totally uncontrollable. And, you know, do you think she cares what would happen if her parents had to give up everything? Like, so it's, he like plays both sides of it, her being a shitty child and also a woman at the same time.
A woman who's responsible for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it switches now where it's like the parents, you know, there's no way that, what could they do? There's nothing they could have done to stop her. But now she's an adult who has to make her own decisions, even though she had no parenting skill, no like parents to help her with any kind of life skills.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
His request was granted and the bail was set at $2 million. Meanwhile, Steven Sleeman told A Current Affair that Amy had promised him sex if he killed Mary Jo, and then they had sex, and he didn't kill Mary Jo, and she called his house, like, threatening his mom and stuff. So he sold his story for some money to A Current Affair, and then Chris Drellos came forward saying the same thing. He said that he had a relationship with Amy from May through August, and at one point, Amy had brought him over to the Complete Auto to get some, like, to get the stripes, you know, the stripes that everybody wants on his car.
On his car, the detailing, some nice stripe. Yeah, there
yeah.
you go. Look cool.
Yeah. He says that she then disappeared with Joey for 45 minutes. And then when he came back, because they were supposedly in a relationship, Chris drilled her about what the hell she was doing with Joey. And Amy said that Joey was in love with her. And, you know, like, she had a thing with him.
You show me a Superman sticker. It's a thing. Don't worry about it.
You want the stripes, don't you, baby? I'll get you a good discount.
I do want the stripes.
I got you 20%.
All right, thank you, but still, I'm not happy about this. We're going to talk about this again. They do look good, though. They do look really good. They do good work here. I get one of those shirts. Can you get me one of those shirts?
No, those shirts are for VIP. Oh, VIP.
Okay.
Then Chris says that Amy started asking him to kill Mary Jo every day. Day in and day out, she kept asking about me killing Mary Jo, and I got sick of it. That's what he says. And that's when
I would get sick of it too.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're gonna ask someone to kill someone, you gotta kind of suss them out to see if they're the type that's capable of murder.
I also feel like that's like a kind of a deal breaker for a friendship or relationship of any kind. Yeah. It's like Maria, I consider a close friend, mm-hmm. but if she was ever like, "Hey, would you kill somebody for me?" I'd be like, "No, I'm not going to do that." And she'd be like, "You sure?" And I'd be like, "Okay, we got to stop being friends now." Like, we.
Yeah, you're not going to be like, "No, I'm not going to kill this person." So we still go into Chipotle or what?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Chipotle, yeah. Well, I would still go to Chipotle. But then after that, I would be like, we need to evaluate our friendship.
Ah, come on. I was just asking. It's a totally theoretical thing. Will you hold this bag for me?
Oh,
no, I mean,
sure.
Like, at your house, hold it there for a couple days.
Yeah. Just a couple days. I'll be back. Then Chris is like, that's when I introduced her. I passed her off to Steven. Because he's like, I knew Steven had a rifle. So they both, like, make good amount of money, actually, off their supposed stories. Amy claims that neither are true, and that there was never any premise of sex with either of them for their friendship. Chris is like, I think Chris, if I remember correctly, is the dude that she helped out for a while. She says she helped out for a while and gave him some money to get an apartment and shit, and then he kind of just, like, stopped talking to her. And then Steven, she says, is the super gross dude. She would never touch.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Peter Guagnelli, PDG, who had been named by Amy to her lawyer, who then passed on that information to the police, had been arrested as well. And he also jumped on the bandwagon and said that Amy had promised him sex in exchange for a gun. He says that he had no idea what she was using the gun for, and that was his story. He was sticking to it. After that, an appeal to reduce bail from $2 million to $1 million was denied by the judge for Amy. So Amy remains in jail. And then Joey is out trying to paint himself as the perfect husband.
Of course, as he is.
As he is.
He doesn't have to work hard.
Yeah.
Also, I just love that sentence in and of itself shows he's not a good husband, because he's, like, out while his wife is recovering. Like, he's like, I'm the perfect husband.
Yeah.
Where's your wife? I have no fucking idea. She's probably, like, at home being a lazy bitch.
Jesus. So he says that he took care of Mary Jo like completely, you know. He's like, I bathed her, I did her hair, I spent every minute with her. So, and he I think at first he did do that. That's what it appears to be anyway. On the news, on the tabloid news, they even managed to talk to the madam that Joey worked for, who confirmed she knew Joey. And whoever, like, everybody knew in town that this lady was a madam, and her house was like the madam's house. But she's like, yeah, I knew Joey. But nobody takes any of this into account.
Of course not.
And Joey hasn't really, he's just like, you know, he's not talking to the public yet. One fine day, Joey is listening to his favorite, to his favorite radio host, Howard Stern.
Of course.
And they were talking about the Long Island Lolita case. And someone had just called in claiming to be a construction worker who was working at the Buttafuoco house and had seen Amy in the pool. So Joey felt compelled to call in. And he was like,
no.
He's keeping quiet, but he breaks his silence for fucking Stern.
He has to. It's his favorite. It's his favorite. He can't even believe they're talking about him. You know?
This is a big moment. I mean, I get it. I'm a Long Island guy, too. I just feel if I was worried about any sort of legal ramifications.
Right.
I would not start with Howard.
It's no problem with Howard. Everything's cool. Everything's cool with Howard. You can't get in trouble for being on the radio. So Joey says, first of all, that he didn't have a pool. So that was impossible. And second of all, he says that he loves his wife. And he did not cheat on her. So this whole time, all the papers are saying, like, you know, it's a fatal attraction thing. It's an affair. Mm-hmm. And so now he's coming out and he's saying the papers are lying. And Amy is completely delusional. I never had an affair with her. Mm-hmm. I've always been faithful to my wife. Joey's civil lawyer is smart enough to get him a criminal lawyer. And he gets him Marvin Kornberg.
He was also listening to Stern. I got some phone calls I gotta make.
All right. Everyone was listening to Stern.
It's true. It's true.
Every single person involved in this happened to have been listening to Stern at that moment.
So Marvin Kornberg had gotten cops off before, and his thing is that he gets cops off brutality charges, and like he gets like of city and government officials off of charges, you know? So he has a lot of friends. And Kornberg was able to essentially bury any more rumors or stories or leads about the truth of Joey's background as a pimp and a drug dealer.
You did a really good job because, like I said, this was still news to me when you first mentioned it.
He did a really good job. He just, because also the police were like, oh, it's not relevant to our case anyway. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We want to get Amy. And we don't have any interest in what Joey did before, mm-hmm. You know?
I can only wonder why a bunch of cops would not want to dig into the madam in an upper middle class white neighborhood.
Who knows?
I don't know why they wouldn't want to. I can't figure it out.
It's not like they see her and her ladies every weekend when they're playing poker.
Her record books are no business of the police.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? They're here to protect us, and we know that.
She's just an upstanding businesswoman.
Yeah.
She went to college.
So Kornberg and Joey went on several tabloid news shows and talked about how Joey was nursing Mary Jo back to health, et cetera, et cetera. Mary Jo's mother also showed her support for Joey, saying that she also believed that he was innocent and had never had an affair. That's crazy, crazy,
insane. Anyone who knows this person for even like a day would honestly believe that he's not having an affair.
It's crazy. It's the worst. It's the despicable thing, you know. And it's also like, why is his mom? Why is her mom like coming out and doing this right now? She should just be at the hospital.
Yeah.
The police, meanwhile, collected enough motel receipts to show that Joey had slept with Amy several times. While she was a minor still.
And well, hotel receipts. Maybe they were just, you know, studying. Just because you have a hotel receipt and you're in there with a young lady doesn't mean you're doing anything, you know.
Obviously. Untoward. Yeah, you're in there for 45 minutes. You're cramming. it's a cram session.
You got finals coming up, you know?
Yeah. That's what when I was an aide, I mean, that I can't tell you how many hotel rooms that I would book. You know, it's like, we got to study. Okay.
Got to get somewhere quiet. You can't just go to Starbucks. There's a lot of people there.
Yeah. It's too noisy. I need somewhere with a mini bar.
Mary Jo eventually, starts to recover and she's back on her feet. And her and Joey face the cameras together, and she is completely behind him. She says that she believes Joey 100% and that he would never hurt her like that. And, you know, Amy is just delusional, trying to kill her, and is now trying to destroy the family.
I kind of get that. I feel like it just, to me, I think there's like, when you think about like somebody that you have had such a loving, not maybe, I mean, you would like to think maybe at some point loving relationship. I can't imagine the people closest to me would do something so horrendous, you know? Mm-hmm. So it just like, I can kind of see her having that sort of mental block where she's just like, this has to be the truth.
It being a lot to process, especially since like, she's like still dealing with like recuperating from all this stuff. I'm sure the last thing she wants to like, take on mentally is just the acceptance of this, even though there has to be throughout, you know, there has to be in her previous to getting shot in the head. At least she has to have at least an inkling of who the person that she's with is.
Yeah. Yeah,
for sure.
I think she was just like in a lot of denial because the police said that they had enough evidence, obviously, to show that Joey had an affair. Mm-hmm. Joey had a very long affair with Amy. And they say that Mary Jo just didn't want to see it. At one point, they never came out to her and said he had an affair with Amy, but they did say at some point, we have everything we can show you. So what do you want to know all of it? And so eventually they told her about the motel receipts, but she was like, I don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it. I don't want to hear it. You're not going to drag my husband's name through the mud. She took that stance for a long time. And
yeah, that's so tough.
Yeah.
I could see that. I mean, it's tough to open your brain up and be like, yeah, no, this is, because you know that she's definitely in the back of her head going, yeah, this is it. This is the guy that I married. Because didn't you guys say in the very beginning that he was like clearly in love with her best friend? But then she was dating his best friend. And so she was like, he was like, all right, I'll marry her best friend. Like,
that's right.
That's what Amy says Joey told her. So.
And then he died and he was taking on the expenses for that whole, all his kids and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh.
But it's also the fact that she has been like 100% dependent on him for, you know, however long this, from this point forward to like her. From when she was shot to this point, she was very dependent on him. And it's hard to believe that somebody who is being so caring about taking care of you would try to have you, would be, first of all, betray you for like years and then possibly have you try to have you killed. Yeah. So that's crazy. Yeah, it's super sad. So back to Amy. Right after her bail was set so high, her attorney announced that if any movie studio could secure the $2 million that she needed to get out for her bail, they had exclusive rights to her story. Which seems super shady, but I guess it's... Mm-hmm. Maybe it borders the line of ethics for lawyers? I don't know.
I would say it river dances the line of ethics. I don't know. There's a lot of overstepping there. That's kind of crazy.
Production company called KLM pulled some strings, and so did the lawyer, and they helped and basically they got the money together to put up the money with, like, it was like a bail bonds company, a production company got their money together and put up the bond for Amy. So she was let out after 62 days.
Show business.
Yeah. Can really move mountains. I guess this was a note I wanted to say. When she got let out, her hair was apparently in cornrows. thanks to a fellow inmate.
Oh my God.
I want to see that picture.
I would love to see it. I'm sure they made her take it out right away.
Oh, for sure.
The lawyer, her lawyer, Eric, was probably like, take these out.
You're walking out to the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She definitely seems like the kind of person that's like, you know, was like, what, back in the slammer, I learned how to take care of myself. It's like, you were there for like, not even a month. Like, calm it down.
Don't braid your hair. It looks bad. If you have blonde hair, don't get cornrows. Don't get little braids. Don't. It just
doesn't work.
It doesn't. It never works.
There's so many times in my life that people have like basically decided for me that it's not a good idea. And I've just been so lucky because for the longest time I wanted that. And every hairdresser I went to was like, absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely. I will not do that. And no. I was like, come on. And so now at 35, I'm like, thank God that there was an intelligent person in the room that was like, no, I'm not.
You don't have
this.
That picture floating around.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I read that it's also really bad for like straight white hair. Like it really like fucks with
for
the
fine hair.
For fine hair, like yeah, because it really fucks with your roots, and so it starts.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
Starts pulling like your hairline back and shit if you do it a lot. So
oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of fun retribution of like,
yeah, if you're doing it that much, you deserve it. Yeah. So yeah, they took the braids out. I did want to note too, it's not a note I put in here, but when Amy's like in jail, she says that the people that were closest to her were her parents and Maria and Lori.
Of course. Good friends till the end.
Good friends till the end. And her lawyer. Her lawyer was her rock, she said, which will be, it's interesting. So that's what she says in this book, in my story. And then there's like a long paragraph about what a great family man Eric is. If you can guess where I'm going with this later. So
they part ways as friends.
They do. Yes.
Okay.
The DA, once she's out, the DA immediately issues a restraining order against Amy to not come near Mary Jo, obviously, Joey, Bobby, or their dad, Casper, which is like insult to injury.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all like, they're basically saying, don't come near Mary Jo, don't come near Joey, and don't come to the shop. You know we're going to be at the shop, so don't come to the
shop.
Ever.
That's because she spends 75% of her time.
Honestly.
What is she going to do now?
Yeah.
It's just the beauty shop. That's it. It's not like she's going to be at home.
She has her own little cubbyhole at the shop, and they're like, fuck this. He threw out her lip gloss. Amy says that Jane also severed contact by this point. Jane had actually been picked up a day after Amy had been arraigned because Amy named her. So then they questioned her, and she immediately lawyered up.
Mm-hmm. And she's smarter. She got family in the mob.
Yeah, exactly. And so they effectively had her name removed from any blame. She did her statement did like beef up the indictment against Amy, and then basically she just got off scot free. So mm-hmm. Jane was super smart, and she knew the right people. Amy's lawyer Eric had told her that once she was out on bail, there was just a few people that it was safe to talk to. But Paul Makeley, was one of them. He was still presumably Amy's boyfriend.
I love how that's exactly probably what he would say to people.
Yeah.
No, I'm still presumably Amy's boyfriend.
As far as we can tell.
As far as anybody can tell. That's what she says, so that's what I'm going with.
Take her at a word.
Paul claims that he didn't know anything about the shooting until Amy had been arrested and he heard it on the news. But Amy had told the police that she had confessed to Paul a day after it happened. Like, she went over there with Jane, and then she went to Future Physique with Jane, and then she went on a walk with Paul and told him that she had shot Mary Jo. I don't. She just can't wait to tell everybody.
No, this is a big deal. This is probably the biggest thing she's ever done in her life.
It's true. Then Paul gets his piece of the pie. He makes money off of like having the press wait at the gym to see if Amy will show up to work out.
Paul's gym. The Paulie's gym. Actually, the name and number in there.
Yeah. Future physique, Paulie's gym. We have two names. As they wait. And so then he also received around $21,000 for his part in one of the movie deals. Jesus Christ.
Jeez.
And then Amy's negotiations for a plea bargain began. But a Fucos agreed that they, like, if she gets less jail time, because I guess in the state of New York, the victim should have kind of a say, at least an opinion on what happens to their attacker. So Mary Jo agreed that as long as Joey was not persecuted for any part of the crime, then Amy would get less jail time.
Oh, so Mary Jo agreed to cover Joey's ass.
Yeah.
That deep. To the point where the person who shot her will get less jail time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this was the first offer on the table, and it wasn't a bad offer. I think they were looking for 3 to 5 years or 2 to 6 years, something like that. But then for some reason, Amy's lawyer denied this one. And we know the reason. It's because Amy didn't think it was fair that Joey get no time or get, didn't get prosecuted. So they settled on a plea bargain of 5 to 15 years for her, and that the DA would still have the option to go after Joey. That was what they left on. Then a night later, Paul invites Amy over to Future Physique. And while there, Paul secretly records Amy talking about the crime. And this was the big episode of Hard Copy that is really hard to find. Really?
Oh, yeah, I can't find it.
I can't find it.
Oh, because I was going to say, it would be great if you could play the recording because it was everywhere at the time.
It was fantastic. It's a fantastic recording. I mean... I haven't heard the real recording though, because I think that on one of the movies they do it pretty verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I want to get a Ferrari for all my pain and suffering.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. She says that her and Paul she tells Paul, like, we should get married before I go back to prison because then we can have conjugal visits. And he's like, oh, no. Like, he says something so dumb. He's like, oh, you're making me shudder with that word. Like, no.
I just don't think you're, like, a good bet for marriage.
So, yeah, she tells him that she wants a Ferrari for all of her pain and suffering if she has to suffer. She says that, before she goes back to prison, she wants to go to the Hamptons and la-di-da.
It's a Long Island girl. The best place they can think of is the fucking Hamptons.
Yeah.
I've been to jail my whole life. Let's do a weekend. Probably would have preferred Montauk.
Yep. So the next night, Hard Copy premieres the tape. And Amy sees it. She sees it with like a lawyer. Her lawyer, Eric, is like off with his family. And so she sees it at like the house of another lawyer who then drives her home so that they make sure that she can't drive herself off after she sees it, because they didn't want her to see it. But so she sees the tape. She goes home. She takes up a bunch of Xanax in her suicide attempt, in her attempt to commit suicide. And then her mom, Rose, and Elliot call like a doctor, and they call a lawyer just because they want to know if they should take her to the hospital, because... But they also don't want to cause a fuss, they also don't want to bring more attention to the press, to the media. So the doctors assessing how much Xanax she had taken were like, no, she's fine. She's just going to sleep a lot. So then the next day she wakes up and then she goes back into the bathroom immediately and takes a bunch of Loazepam. And this one is a big enough deal where she has to go to the hospital. And they pump her stomach and she's in an IV. So she had two suicide attempts. All that happened, and she was, instead of the day that she was supposed to have, which was going to court to get the plea bargain finalized. Amy stayed in the hospital for 1 month. Then on November 5th, Tired of the press at her house and being a prisoner in her own home, Amy volunteered to go back to jail. Her trial took place in late November, and on December 1st, she was sentenced to 5 to 15 years. That same day, the Buddha Fucos rejoiced on TV together, and then they flew out to LA to meet the actors who would play them in the TV movie.
Oh my gosh. Jesus Christ.
Then they went on Donahue.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And they proclaimed Joey's innocence, but Donahue kind of ate them up. Like, nobody in the audience or anything mm-hmm. believed them.
Oh, I wonder why. And Donahue was no joke.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't fuck around.
Madonna, on a performance of SNL, ripped up a picture of Buddha Fucos on stage and said, "Fight the real enemy." So, mm-hmm. a parody on Sinead O'Connor's thing.
When she ripped up the picture
the Pope.
Of
the Pope. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think it was pretty obvious to everyone involved that, like, Joey clearly was having an affair with this girl and was getting nothing.
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 Nothing. Yeah.
No punishment whatsoever.
And he not only clearly... did... Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not only did he have an affair, he turned her out.
Yeah.
He's the one that turned her out.
He turned her out. And even if he never directly said, "I want you to shoot my wife," which is up for debate.
Yeah, up for debate.
Up for debate.
Yeah.
Even though clearly he was... was responsible for this whole, or partially responsible for this whole chain of events.
Yeah.
And he was getting nothing.
Exactly.
And in some ways, in some cases, being treated like a hero for being a faithful husband after his wife was shot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's what he keeps trying to portray. A day after the Madonna performance, Joey alleges that he was randomly shot at, and his lawyer blamed Madonna.
No, what? Imagine it was Madonna.
Yeah, yeah, she did it. Yeah, she was still in New York. We know this. She was here the night before.
Oh, no. Guys, I don't know if we should say that because we could be starting a conspiracy theory right now. A year from now, we're gonna have like some guy's gonna be like, "And Madonna tried to shoot Amy Fisher. She was framed by Madonna."
Madonna was doing a drive-by, but she, like, this was like the Vogue period. She still had like the big like cone,
the boobs.
That's, yeah,
that's how she shot him. She shot him with her machine boobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Machine gun boobs.
In February, PDG was sentenced to 6 months in jail for his part in the crime, for getting the gun. Also in February, the DA finally went after Joey for statutory rape. Mary Jo is devastated. He says that this girl almost took her life and is now taking her family away. Meanwhile, Amy served as a witness at the trial. In November, Joey was sentenced to a measly 6 months in jail for the statutory rape of Amy Fisher. And nothing was ever made of the allegations of pimping or that he introduced her to the escort service. While Amy was in prison, she was in the news again for a few different incidents. She said she was in the news because her and her mom sued the Albion State Prison and accused prison guard Sergeant Schwartz and others of sexually abusing, raping, harassing Amy in prison. The affidavit states that Sergeant Schwartz was particularly super creepy. That's what it says, super creepy. He befriended her. That's what the affidavit states. He befriended her and he had sex with her in 1993 when she was 19. So she had just gotten into jail. He also sent her letters to her mom. Like, and called her mom. Like, he would send her letter. He would send letters to his mom, to her mom, to send to Amy, because he's not supposed to like fraternize with the prisoner. Mm-hmm. Super convoluted. And he also called her mom once while Amy had been temporarily transferred to another prison and kept asking her mom for pictures of her and if Amy ever talked about him.
Jesus. So, like, she like ever like talk about me?
Yeah.
Like, not so insane.
What did she say? So did weird. She like me? Mom and Amy both eventually complained to the prison, and Schwartz was transferred to, thankfully, a male prison.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he denies everything. And he says that he saw himself as a father figure to Amy more than anything else.
He saw himself as.
At the time that that story was published in the news, Amy was in solitary already, or Amy was in solitary again because she had written love letters to a different guard. So she kept ending up in the news for that. In 1999, Amy is released. Mary Jo publicly said that she forgave Amy and said that she had been writing letters to Amy and her mother, Rose, and felt that Amy had been punished long enough. With Mary Jo's help, the courts decided to let Amy out on parole. Along with the victim's forgiveness, Amy had contended that she had been misled to plead guilty. She said that her lawyer, Eric Nayberg, had convinced her she would only need to serve around 3 years before she was let out on a work release program. And she says she had a sexual relationship with him while she was his client.
There you go.
Oh, brother.
She says that they did everything except have, like, intercourse, which Nyberg said that he didn't want to do because he says he didn't want to do to her what Joey did.
So just hand stuff?
Yeah.
Hand and mouth stuff.
Well,
that's not what Joey did, so I guess that he did draw a line.
I guess.
See, I was thinking that maybe that she finally had group sex, because that's the one thing she didn't do with Joey. So she...
It seems to be that the same type of fella kept orbiting her life.
Yeah.
Throughout this whole process.
The same guys. Every guy that she meets takes advantage of her. Mm-hmm. And every guy pretends to be a father figure because that's what he says. He denies this. He says that at the time he was more like a father figure to her. There are receipts. There are letters, poems that he sent her while in prison that are all like stupid and like
lovey-dovey.
This is one of them. This is a part of one of them. I came to know a different Amy. One as charming as the devil. I came to care quite a bit. And that is on the level. That's
I want that take him to write. That's what I want to know.
6 weeks and he took a class.
All right, Eric, you have a poem that you'd like to read? Eric, again, I'd like to state that we all know who you're talking about. So you don't have to keep hinting at it.
But I spelled Amy differently. It's A-I-M-I-E.
Different.
Different. It's a different girl. He says that he did visit her on many occasions, and sometimes at the most what he would do is put his arm around her or kiss her on top of the forehead, but only in the fatherly way.
But you're not her father, so that's still creepy. Like, it's still a creepy thing to do, even if it was terrible. Just that.
It's terrible, dude.
I love that that's such a like a thing that creepy men say. It's like if I were to ever be like, yeah, I just gave him like a slight hug and I like pressed my body against him, you know, in a motherly way. People would be like, that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard you say.
Yeah.
Like that you are a creep.
I pushed them into my bosom, but in the motherly way. So Amy got out, and she hasn't had a really great life. Here's where are they now for all three of them. So Amy, in 2004, the New York Times caught up with Amy when she had just turned 30. At the time, Amy felt that she had it way more together. She had written her second memoir called If I Knew Then. With the Long Island Press editor in chief as her co-writer. She had met and married Louis Bellera on Match.com.
Lou.
He had listed himself as a millionaire, even though he wasn't. They had a little boy together and a girl on the way. Amy still used her own name to write books and her advice column, but, never mind.
Wait. She had an advice column?
She had an advice column in the Long Island, what's it called? It was a Long Island specific publication. The Long Island. It was the Long Island Press. It was the Long Island Press. Oh. Yeah, that's why she was.
It was a small, like a small, like local Long Island circulatory thing. It wasn't even like a, like Newsday was the major newspaper. This would have been much smaller.
Oh, okay.
And there was a bit of a controversy at the time because there were a lot of people that were like, why is she getting a job?
Yeah.
Why is she giving advice?
Yeah.
I would love it if all her advice is just kill the wife.
You should shoot her. But make sure you do it right.
Yeah.
In 2006, she appeared on an episode of Entertainment Tonight with Mary Jo. And at the time, the two were cordial with each other and said that they wanted to heal and move on. And that she and Amy said she was really grateful for Mary Jo's forgiveness. But then 2 years later, she said she felt no remorse or sympathy for Mary Jo. So that's weird. Also in 2006, her and Joey appeared at the Lingerie Bowl coin toss and did the coin toss together. Mm-hmm. In 2007, her husband Lou sold a sex tape of theirs to a porn production company. She sued him and the company, but then in 2008, reconciled with her husband, appeared on the Howard Stern show to talk about her latest tape. And then stormed off when the first call was from Jessica Buttafuoco, Mary Jo's daughter. And this is a pretty entertaining video if you guys want to look it up. It's on YouTube. And she gets really upset. I've seen it. Yeah. She gets super upset. And then Lou stands around and talks to Howard Stern at the elevator for like 5 minutes about how like this is just how she is. She's always like this. She gets really upset. She's super sensitive. He basically just complains about her.
For years after this, they would use little like sound drops of Lou just saying stuff. He became a very popular figure on the show.
Oh, that's great. Then in 2009, she released a pay-per-view porn film titled Amy Fisher, Totally Nude and Exposed, and signed a deal to appear as a stripper once a month, which never came to fruition because her own fans told her that she was too old to be a stripper.
Oh,
ouch.
No.
Ouch.
Oh, that's awkward.
It's a little harsh. I mean, she still was a lovely woman at this point.
I mean, I don't see... I think she has, like, a dopey face. Like, she looks dumb, so I don't get it. But
it's not... Yeah, I mean, she's not working for Victoria's Secret or nothing, but I'm just saying, you know, she's a perfectly pleasant-looking person. Yeah. And she wasn't, like 75. She's only, like, 30, like, 32 or something like this when this was going on.
Well, her fans... You're talking about her porn fans, too, which That's is, like, true. These guys are hanging on to the fact that she was once underage.
True, I guess so.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're still picturing 17, which is a bigger problem on their end.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
In 2010, she released another porn, which was called Deep Inside Amy Fisher. Mary Jo then later called her actions appalling and said that she was wasting her life when Mary Jo appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show. In 2011, Amy did Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew and announced she would no longer make adult films. Joey moved from New York to LA and did everything he could to remain as part of the pop culture zeitgeist. He was convicted but he also committed a few more crimes. He was convicted of soliciting prostitution in 95. In 2004, he was convicted of auto insurance fraud, and he was prohibited from working in the auto body industry in California.
For life.
For life, forever.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. And if you think about it, just a side note, the Hillside Stranglers were auto body people. And they, Well, they also did furniture, but they also worked at one of them. I think one of them worked in an auto body shop. And nobody, the California has not made a ruling on whether or not they can still continue doing stuff.
But Joey is done.
Joey's done.
Yeah.
He lost his LA privileges.
He's a terrible mechanic. And then in 2005, he was charged with illegal possession of ammunition. He wasn't supposed to have any because he was on parole. So he got some time for that. But in between all that, he appeared on David Letterman. He also appeared in Celebrity Boxing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who did he fight?
He fought China.
Oh, that's right.
And he won. But he was originally supposed to fight John Wayne Bobbitt.
Which that would have been the battle of the century.
Yeah. But that night, Bobbitt was arrested for domestic abuse.
Oh, jeez. Oh. Who'd have thunk it, you know?
Yeah.
Two upstanding men.
Really?
Joey, really, because John Wayne Bobbitt was arrested, Joey, feels like very superior. He's like, that piece of trash got arrested for domestic abuse.
Just so he didn't have to show up to the fight because he knew I was going to win.
Fight me.
Yeah.
Me, Joey Buttafuoco, not arrested this time for domestic abuse, by the way.
Not today. Then in 2003, Mary Jo and Joey's divorce was finalized, thankfully. She left him, I think it was less than a year after everything kind of really calmed down and they tried moving out to California together. She kind of started to realize what a piece of shit he was.
Once everything kind of settled down and she could kind of and she was doing better and she could see the forest for the trees, it became obvious that, plus I'm sure Joey probably at first was probably on his best behavior for a while.
Right.
But eventually it kind of just went back to being who he was.
Especially since they moved out to LA. He's it's new territory, new ground.
If you're trying to recuperate or become better or be a better person or fix things, don't come to LA.
Don't move here.
It's not the place to move. I mean, it's not a bad place, but if it's not the place to go to try and fix your life.
You're not going to find God here. That's for sure.
And on your point too, I would say if you are with somebody and you kind of have apprehensions as to who they are as a person, and they're like, "I want to move to LA to become an actor," but get rid of them, leave them.
No, God.
Yeah.
They're not going to be a better person once you get to LA.
No.
Joey got remarried to a woman named Ivanka in 2005. He also sued an adult film actress on the TV show Judge Pirro because she apparently owed him for an auto body bill, which would have to mean that either he was already barred from doing auto body shops or doing auto body work. So I'm not really sure. Maybe it was an old bill.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was out of California.
Maybe. Yeah, that was probably it. He also appeared on Judge Judy, and he just keeps trying to make little appearances like that all the time still. In 2009, Mary Jo published her own version of the events, and the book was called Getting It Through My Thick Skull, Why I Stayed, What I Learned, and What Millions of People Involved with Sociopaths Need to Know.
I like that title. Mary Jo has managed to have a reasonable sense of humor. It's amazing how level-headed she has been about a lot of this.
Yes.
Considering, she survived and made a good recovery, but still had to deal with this her whole life. And she was definitely injured throughout her whole life. And she managed to handle getting shot in the head by her husband's mistress as good as anyone possibly could.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just amazing that she survived, first of all.
And that she's willing to recognize when she makes a mistake and also make it funny, you know, and I figured it out. It took a longer than it should have, but I figured it out. So
she has grace.
Yes.
Yes, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Getting it through my thick skull. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
That is great.
Also, it works on so many levels.
She's very, very clever. Very clever. Very good. She became a board member of the Facial Paralysis Institute in 2005. She remarried with another guy, and they had a kid together or two. They divorced in 2018, but she continues to be friends with him. She also continues to be a motivational speaker, which is great. Then in 2015, Amy and Joey made headlines again when they claimed they were dating. Later, Amy admitted that they were never dating, but they did recently have sex, that she was just trying to get a reality show out of it. And she says she did it to piss Mary Jo off, which is fucking bullshit. Like, she's such a cunt.
Like, after all these years, like...
She's terrible. She starts like she just wants to try to start shit with Mary Jo so she can get more notoriety.
Yeah.
And Mary Jo has just I don't know how she stays so composed, because I mean, honestly, I would have tried to kill Amy Fisher right now if I were Mary Jo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mary Jo's like, you know, I've moved on, and Amy just keeps trying to put the fucking toothpaste back in the tube of this thing, and like,
insane,
the world has moved on.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Now it's just a footnote or like a casual, like, oh, that's interesting, but like, no one's ever gonna be back on board for this. It's too sad at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, I think that, like, you know, to kind of bring it back to Amy Fisher, it's like the opposite of hate, a lot opposite of love isn't hate, it's like just complete, like, just, you know, not caring,
indifference,
right? Indifference, right. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. And I think that, you know, Mary Jo, she has indifference towards Amy Fisher, and that is driving Amy Fisher crazy, because right. She wants her to have some kind of feeling towards her. And it's just like, you know, whatever. She's just, I'm not her mother. Mm-hmm. I'm nobody to her. Move on.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
already done the worst thing you can possibly do, and she's over
it.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I also, this is when it gets really hard to feel bad for Amy in any way, because, like, you feel bad for her when she's a kid. She's 19 and stuff, and, like, everybody, every man has taken advantage of her. But now it's like, bitch, you are, like, 42. Like, get it together. Yeah. Fucking stop being such a cunt to all the people who show you any kind of mercy, and stop being, like, I love the bad guys. Because it's her life is essentially, like, it's not great.
No, it's not. And it's not cute anymore. Like you said, like, yeah, when she was failed by every adult in her life when she was young. And even though she made a choice and she was old enough to know that choice was wrong, she was still not set up in any sort of way to understand what she was doing.
Absolutely.
But now, all these years later, she does know the difference. And Mary Jo helped her get out of jail.
Yeah.
Like, helped her get out early. Like, just at that, you know, even if you still had some residual issues with them, just leave it at that. They helped you get out of jail, and you tried to kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She, more than anybody, has so much material to reflect upon to, like, build her life to become a better person, you know, and she has the advantage that she doesn't have the guilt that the person that she tried to kill didn't, like, they didn't die. So she doesn't have the guilt that she actually murdered somebody on her conscience. And yet she, well, suffice to say, she is still camming. She's a webcam girl. That's her living now.
Oh.
And you can find her profile on streammate.com. That's streammate with one M .com.
Who's still going? Like, I'm not saying, like, look, I understand, you know, wanting to do, to watch a cam girl. I get that. Fine. Whatever. You want to do that. But who's still going to Amy Fisher?
There's so much better
cam girls out there that you could go to.
You could go to her profile. Yeah, it is. Totally.
There's
a niche.
A lot of like older fellas on Long Island who are patrons.
Yes. Yeah.
of the site.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, guys that look like Joey now. Yeah. Look like Joey today.
Yep. So that's the story, the long and sad tale of Amy Fisher, the Long Island Lolita.
Oof! What a ride.
Yeah. Oof. Thank you guys for listening. Brother. Thank you, Mike, for being on with us for all three parts.
Thank you so much for having me. This was very fun to relive this entire time, because also it was like reliving my youth in its own ways. And, you know, we don't have to have a podcast about that, but it's just, you know, I remember certain
things. We should have a podcast about that. Long Island, growing up Long Island.
Yeah.
It's not really very interesting. It's just a lot of Italian food and adults yelling.
Hey, a lot of movies have been made off just that premise.
Yeah, I feel like that's the premise of Goodfellas.
All right. Mike, do you have a show this weekend?
I do have a show. Frendo is live at the Pack Theater tomorrow. I believe you can still get tickets if you just look up Frendo Sketch on the socials, or Pack Theater as well. We're performing tomorrow night at 9 o'clock in Hollywood. And it's going to be a super fun show.
Awesome.
Yeah, I got my ticket. Cash and I will be there. We're really excited.
Cannot wait to see you guys.
Lori,
it'll be hard because the lights will be in my eyes.
We'll see you after.
That's true. After I'm on the stage performing.
Yes.
Yes.
And then we get to go to the VIP area and we get Friendo shirts.
And maybe, I don't know. We'll see.
I'm not good enough for a Friendo shirt?
We'll see. Those are very important. We'll see. I don't know. We'll discuss.
Wow.
Taking my business elsewhere.
I'm no longer allowed to perform to go to any sketch comedy in California. They told me that. So
you've been legally banned.
Yeah.
Well, you committed too much sketch fraud.
I commit sketch fraud. People were like, "That's not sketch comedy.
Yeah,
that's just you yelling."
You're still hounding your other team about dues, though.
Yeah. Exactly.
Lori, is there anything you want to plug?
No, I mean, just if you're a fan of this podcast, please support us on Patreon. Thank you so much, guys. And we'll be back for another fun episode next week.
Yeah. And if if you can't support us on Patreon, tell a friend about the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Or an enemy.
Or anybody.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Have a good night.